Rabbi Sai, we're going to make the siyum now. Levi Lowinger, who put the kaifas into setting up and providing here tonight, has yard site tonight, and he'll say the Kaddish, but he was mechabed Rabbi Shor Grossman to please come and say the siyum.
I'm not sure why the Rav asked me to make the siyum. I couldn't think of any good reason. He gave me 20 minutes notice, so I guess I shouldn't complain. I'll read the last Gemara, and then we'll say a brief part, and then we'll say the Kaddish. So the last Gemara talks about, the last Mishnah talks about Tfilas Kalim, and what you do. The last Mishnah is Halakach Kli Tash Mishman Aldei Kachavim Eshedako Lahatbil Yatbil Lahagil Yagil Labein Boor Yalabein Boor Hashbud Vaskala Malabnin Boor Hasakin Shafa. So we don't talk about the last case. Hasakin shofar, you take, if you have a knife that you're getting from a guy and you want to kasher it, so you take the knife and you stick it in the ground and it becomes tohar. So the Gemara says, Hasakin shofar v'hi tohar, omer avukbor bar chamo v'noet sasar apam in bakarka. You have to stick it in the ground 10 times. Amar Afuna Bered Rav Yeshua, the karka shein avuda. It has to be karka that isn't soft and worked. It has to be hard ground, essentially. Karka that hasn't been plowed over. Amar Af Kahana, the sakin yofa shein bogumos. And a third condition, it has to be a knife that doesn't have indentations or cracks in it. That also, apparently, if the knife is cracked, the idea of sticking the karka is you're taking off the thin outer layer of tarfus that may have adhered to the knife while the guard was using it. So it, on the outside, there may be some tarfus. You stick it into the ground, it comes off. If it has indentations, it's much harder to reach, and it's not likely to come off as much. Tanya Nami Hachi, Sakin Yafashain Bogumos, Noatzasor Pavan Bakarka. And another condition, the foreign condition, is you have to have a smooth knife, you have to have karka that wasn't used, you have to have, and you can only use it when this process is done, you can only use it to eat cold foods, if not hot foods. Rashi and Tosfos discuss that. And the Gemara concludes with a story, an interesting story. It's not, I don't know how appropriate it is, but Kihod the Marihuda Bati Bartuvia have a Yase Kame de Shor Malka. Bati Bartuvia and Rav Yehuda were sitting by Shor Malka, King Shor. Isla Kame Esroga. So they brought them for dessert, presumed they brought them an Esrog tea. Pasak Ochal. Shor Malka cut off a piece for himself and he ate it. Pasak Havle Labate Bartuvia. He cut a piece of, he cut a second piece of the esrog and gave it to Bati Bartuvia to eat. And again, the king was a guy, he was using his own knife, and he didn't kasher. He gave Bati Bartuvia, he gave Bati Bartuvia a piece from the knife from which he used his treif knife to cut the piece for without kashering. Then after he gave Bati Bartuvia, Hadar Dutzasor Zimni Ba'ara, Shapur then took the knife and stuck it into the ground 10 times to kasher it. But Pasak and Havle Lamar Yehudi, they cut off the third piece of esrog and gave it to Rabbi Yehuda to eat. Amrale Bati Bartuve, so Bati Bartuve was a little chagrined, he was put out, he said, Rahu Gavra Lav Bar Yisrael, who said, what's going on here? Am I chopped liver? How come you're concerned to kasher the knife when you give it to Rabbi Yehuda? You're not concerned to give the knife when you kasher the food when you give it to me. Amrale Mar Kimli Begave, Mar Lo Kimli Begave. So the king told him, I know Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know you. That's the first answer. That's the first answer the Gemara says. And the last answer in the Gemara, Ikadamri or Malay Idkar, my avad borta. You know what happened last night, and that shows you weren't such a, you're not such a fine person. What happened was apparently, according to Rashi and Tosfos, they used to send female companionship to their guests, and Bati Bartuvi accepted the companionship, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't. Tosfos goes on to explain that it might have been Iser, Bati Bartuvi might have been an Eved, the women might have been Shvachas, so technically might have been Mutter, but nevertheless, doesn't show a high level of observance on Bati Bartuvi's part, so the king felt justified in not going out of his way to kasher the knife for Bati Bartuvi. The thing about the 10 times is Tosfos says, the top Tosfos in the page, Hasakin Shofar, the Noetz Lesser Pam in Makarka. The Gemara says, you take the knife and you stick it 10 times into the earth. Yerushalmi Kormar Sholosh Pamim. So the Yerushalmi says, 10 times is not necessary, it's sufficient to do it only 3 times. Mashma the Haka Lapdaka Eser Pamim. So it seems perhaps the Gemara says 10 times, perhaps our Gemara doesn't even mean 10 times. And Tosfos going to say, no, the Gemara means 10 times. So why does Yerushalmi say 3 times, and why does our Gemara say 10 times? So I saw a couple of minutes ago, it's brought down, Rav Zilberstein brings down a sefer called Magodim Chadashim, who says the following. He says, the MS, what are we concerned about in a knife? We're concerned about a treif knife that's clean. We're concerned that maybe there's adhering to it a thin layer of some tarfus. So sticking it to the ground 3 times is enough. So 3 times, the Megadim Kadoshim would say 3 times is really enough. Why does our Gemara say 10 times? So he wants to tie it to another idea. We just finished Pesach. By Pesach, what do we do before Pesach that has a number 10 in it? We put out 10 pieces of chametz. When I went to my children's house, they put out 10 pieces and they found 9. So that's the danger of putting out 10 pieces. Anyway, we put out 10 pieces of chametz, and here we stick the knife into the ground 10 times. So he wants to tie it together, saying there are two aspects to kasher the knife. The actual physical kasher is 3 times is enough. We're talking about a thin layer. The adhesion isn't that great. The ground is tough. The knife goes in, and the tarfus comes off, and 3 times really enough to tarfus it. However, there's another thing involved. There's the koach hatumah. When the guy has something besides the physical degradation of the object that which has tarfus, the guy also somehow imbues it with a koach hatumah. And the koach hatumah is what you have to get rid of, and that's why you need 10 times. That's why we, according to the Ari, we put out 10 pieces of chametz before Pesach. We burn them to show that we're destroying the 10 kokos of tumos, and that's why we do it 10 times. And here, too, we stick it in 10 times, albeit the Yerushalmi says 3 is enough. The Bavli says 10, because presumably we want to also destroy, besides the actual physical tarfus, we want to show somehow we're elevating the knife by destroying the spiritual tarfus. Hadron lakasarkas apoel slikulam asakas avodazara. Hadron Allah Masakas Vodazar, Hadron Allah, and Datin Allah Masakas Vodazar, Datin Allah, and Snashim Minach Masakas Vodazar, Blot Snashim Minan, Lobal Mahadain, Lobal Madaasi. Hadron Allah Masakas Vodazar, Hadron Allah, Daitach Allah Masakas Vodazar, Daitan the Halan, Lon Snashim Minach Masakas Vodazar, Snashim Minan, Lobal Mahadain, Lobal Madaasi. Hadron Allah Masakas Vodazar, Hadron Allah, Daitach Allah Masakas Vodazar, Daitach Allah, Lon Snashim Minach Masakas about deserve loss is nashimi none lobo mahadain lobo modasi here at some of nacha the noila hain will have a sandwich to hate her rust woman a sane and bottom has there with the hay mono lolam habo canina bar papa rami bar papa nachman bar papa achai bar papa abba bar mari bar papa rafram bar papa rachish bar papa sorcha bar papa ada bar papa dora bar papa harev no ada noila hain is the rest source bafina bafia samcha base israel yinekulon wa nachnu Maudim anachnu lefenacha de noil hainu leavosenu she sam tochal kenim yoshvei beis hamidrash v'los sam tochal kenim yoshvei kronos shonu mashkimim v'hei mashkimim onu mashkimim u'divrei Torah v'hei mashkimim u'dvarim b'teilim onu amelim v'hei amelim onu amelim mekalim sochar v'hei amelim v'einu mekalim sochar onu rotsim v'hei rotsim onu rotsim l'chayel hamaba v'hei rotsim l'ver shachas shenemar v'ato alohim redeim l'ver shachas anshe damu mirmo lo yakzi yimeyem. Yehir Ratzon v'nachla d'noy lohai, k'shem shazartanu yisayim masechus avodah zorah, k'shem shazartanu yisayim masechus avodah zorah, k'en tazreinu, l'haskel m'seftos v'sperem acherim, l'sayim l'lumot l'amed l'shmer l'asa l'kayim, m'skol divrei talmud Torah secha b'avoh, v'skos t'kol hatanoim v'amorim v'tamidei chachamim, yamod lanu l'zareinu, shalot t'mush hatorah mipinu, m'pi zareinu, v'zera zareinu ad olam, t'skayim bi,
Has to be followed by a new beginning. So you say in the yeshivas today, you don't get out of the box. So I'd like to speak today about the box in Masechet Kedushin, and the Mitzvah Shem will learn the Yomid next week. I do want to mention that in Megad Givay Shalom, Rav Shurkin brings that Chaim Briska used to send people who wanted schoolists to the Vienna Rebbe. And his school lists were, whatever you need, you should learn the Masechta on the thing that you need. For Shidduchim, you learn Kedushin. For Parnassi, you learn the Bavis, etc., etc. I don't know exactly what everything where it fits, but it fits somewhere. So we're starting Kedushin. We hope it should be a schus for Shidduchim. And I told a couple of single guys who join us that they should show their betochen by taking one of the gifts home with them in Yitz Hashem. They'll be able to give it shortly in Yitz Hashem. The Masechta begins with Isha Niknis. The Masechta begins, Taka, with marriage. And the first Rashi is very perplexing. There's a one-word Rashi, Ha'isha Niknis. So Rashi says, Labaila, a woman is Nikna to her husband. And many of the Mefarshim wonder, I think, they're sure if I'm not mistaken, and others, what's Rashi talking about? Isha Niknis is only Labaila. What else does it mean? The Dibris Maisha, a Maisha in his first Ta'ara, says that Rashi's coming to explain, because what kinyan does a person have in a wife? A man doesn't own his wife, there's no bailus. The word Niknis shows ownership. There's no kinyan, the person's not claiming his wife. There's a Ritva later in the Masechta. The Ritva was probably the earliest of the Rishayim that showed that he had a sense of humor. All the other Rishayim were very bekitzer. So in the Sugya of Eved Ivri, where it says Eved Ivri, Gufay Kadoi, you're not Gufay Kadoi, the Ritva writes, what about a wife? Is Gufay Kadoi? Does the Baal hold the Guf? So he writes, that someone asked this, he writes, Kain, Kaina Odein La'atzmai. That's his lashon. That the Kenyan is you're kind of ordering last, you're kind of yourself a master. So Ramesha says that that's what's bothering Rashi. What is a Isha Niknis? What is the, what a bailus does a person have in a wife? And Moshe brings that the kinyan that a man has in his wife is a kinyan ishus, labayla. The only difference in a marriage between the husband's chaylik and the wife's chaylik is that a wife becomes also to marry anybody else. A man is allowed to marry two men, minatayra, two women, minatayra, but a woman is not allowed to marry two men. In a sense, isha niknis labayla means that labayla, the only thing the man holds on the woman is a kinyan of the ishus. He has a bailus in the ishus of the wife. And he says, you see that from Rashi in the second half of the Mishnah, where Rashi says, when it says kaines atzma, that with a get she's kaines atzma, Rashi says kaines atzma liyas b'shusa linase la'acher, that she buys herself back. What do you mean she buys herself back? That liyas b'shusa linase la'acher, that she can marry somebody else. So the kinyan that a man has in his wife is only this, only a kinyan of ishus. Ramesh is megame this. He doesn't, for some reason, he doesn't bring the Maramakimus, but there's one of the machlaiks in the fourth parak, the Davdim Luim and the Pnei Yeshua, is what's the makar that a woman's not allowed to get married again? What's the makar that a woman can't have two husbands? That's not shayach, to have two husbands, two bailim. So Pnei Yeshua says, well, if the husband has bailus on you, so if somebody owns something, no one else can own. And Avnimu says, no, nobody owns, there's no bailus, you don't own a wife. Ramesh's matzik, that idea that all you own in a wife is that is the ishus itself, is not something that's really a kinyan on the in the sense of typical kinyanim. And that's the kinyan. So this is what? Originally it could be shutfim, but once I buy something, you can't own it. I could sell you half of it. Ramesha does talk in this piece that why, if the husband owns it, why can't he sell to someone else? You're saying sell half of his rights, even his whole rights. If he owns that harem, he can't. He says it's not a real kinyan. It's not a real. Nobody has a real kinyan in his wife. Even the bailus, it's really a control. It's a loyalty that he can demand from his wife. This is the insight.
Does he own some obligations that she has to him?
There are obligations in both directions. There are both obligations in two directions, but. The fact that they're obligations is not a kinyan. It's a deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares his relationship to Klal Yisrael, Yassus Alayach Alekoyach, who can say Chasan Akala, to this relationship. And if the whole relationship is that the Kala, and in our case, we're the Kala Klapi, the Rebbeinu Shalaylam, so really the whole kinyan that the husband has in his wife and Klal Yisrael, it's one thing, a demand of a loyalty to the Bari Ayla, a loyalty to the husband, lafuke, any type of a connection anywhere else. And really, that's the whole yisoid of the constant obligation of limud haTorah. Obligation to the Bari Ayla is kevi'achol, a loyalty obligation. Many years ago, it bothered me. I asked a number of Gedolei Yisrael what the pshat is. The Navi says, relaying in the during the 3 weeks, where the Navi says that Shtayim Roy saw Suami. Yishayah says, Kaisho did two bad things. I see Azavu, Makarmayim Chayim. They abandoned me, the Bari Ayilam. Rakhsi Behem Baris Baris Nishmarim, to go and be Eved Avedazara, which is like a broken bar. So I understand what there's two problems. They abandoned me, the Bari Ha'ilam, and they went to Avodah Zarah. And where they went is Bairis Nishmarim. It's like, it's two issues. Like, if they had gone and found a correct God, it would be a separate problem. It seems like it's one problem. Avodah Zarah. What's the two things? They abandoned me, and they went to Avodah Zarah. At that time, I was told by Shishim and Yeshiva Farakaway, by Rabbi Peres, so he told me, no, the side of Yiddishkeit is loyalty. Is loyalty, being loyal to the Bayrei Island. The Navi constantly calls to Klal Yisrael to have a loyalty to the Bayrei Island. Abandoning a loyalty is one ra by itself. Being Avid Avay Desara, of course, is a terrible ra. Yechayim Yisrael being Avid Avay Desara. But the idea that Shayim Roy Sasu Ami, Yosei Azavu, is that a relationship requires that a person be faithful in the relationship, that a person have a loyalty, a complete devotion that's complete. It's not religion by us is not a Sunday morning job. It's a 24-hour-a-day job that we constantly have a loyalty to the Bayrei Olam, and that's really the whole idea that Klal Yisrael has of Bittelsman, of a devotion to Limud HaTorah. And therefore, the Mishmar, I think, is a certainly it's a tipa shabiyam in the obligation to the Bayrei Olam, but at least it's a time that a person takes time out. Sometimes it's hard, late at night. Some people feel bad when they're tired and falling asleep and can't concentrate. I'd rather you be able to concentrate, but you should know that Eilu Talmidei Chachamim HaMisnagdid in Sheino Mibein Einayim is a praise. It's a praise of people who go and try to push themselves to learn. HaMisnagdid in Sheino Mibein Einayim, they push the sleep away from their eyes. Some people do it in the middle of the day that they're falling asleep also, but when a person is tired and he pushes himself and to be able to learn, and sometimes it could come a Thursday night, you're exhausted, you think it's not Kedai. It is Kedai. The idea of Talmid Chachamim is not in Sheinim Bein Einayim is a chashuv inyan of devotion, of loyalty, of pushing yourself to the Bayrei Olam. And I mentioned once, there's a chazal that the Tal of Tchias HaMesim, chazal use an expression that Talmid Chacham will fall asleep on their gemaras and the saliva dribbles from their mouth as they're dozing off, that is the Tal HaTchias somehow. I don't picture it literally, it's not so exciting, but the idea that that's a chush of a thing is something you have to understand. It's not just the knowing and the learning, which I've had as a Avaida, but it's the loyalty, the devotion that we do by coming late at night. So I hope that all of you we'll do two things. Number one, you'll keep it up, and you'll join us for Masechtas Kiddushin. Hope every week to post a Tosfos that I'll speak about. These are hopefully some of the Tosfos that at least will sound vaguely familiar to you from your yeshiva years. And number two, everyone has homework. You have to bring one new person next week. If each person will bring at least one new person next week, Hashem will accommodate by providing some extra refreshments for them, but it'll add to the chizik of the chabura. Hashem. Thank you, everybody, again. And is there a minyan that washed? You have raise of hands that washed? Okay, so we're going to bench Mizrumin, and the Maariv will be. Please don't start the Maariv. Give us a few minutes to bench. Maariv will be upstairs in this meditation.